The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
Safeway stores across Northern California are on the clock with the union strike looming tonight at midnight. KCBS's Jack Ferris has the latest.
The Marina Safeway in San Francisco felt especially busy Saturday morning, and perhaps rightfully so, with a potential strike involving 25,000 employees on the horizon.
I've never been around a grocery store that actually has, like, never opened before, so that would be sort of an interesting thing.
The United Food and Commercial Workers Union have given a list of contract demands to Safeway's owners, Albertsons, that include wage increases and better health care packages. The union delayed the original deadline of 12:01 Saturday morning, 24 hours, giving Albertsons another full day to offer up some good faith concessions to the negotiating table. Ian and his friends were on their way out of Safeway with fresh groceries when I caught up with them. They note a strike would be very inconvenient to their day-to-day, but they stand with the laborers.
You know, convenience-wise, it's right around the corner, but certainly support the workers.
It'd be really unfortunate if the workers went on strike. They're all awesome.
In San Francisco, Jack Ferris, KCBS.
United Food and Commercial Workers Union maintain their 25,000 members will strike as of 12:01 Sunday morning, that's tomorrow morning, if they receive no word from Albertsons. For many families, preparing for the school year can be financially overwhelming. Many families spend up to 10% of their income on school supplies alone. KCBS's Shannon Golden reports one nonprofit is working to ease that stress for underserved families in Daly City.
Daly City Partnership has been hosting its annual Family Resource Day since the pandemic as a chance to dole out school supplies. But Executive Director Mike Stansel says this is more than just your average backpack drive.
So we're partnered with a bunch of different organizations, Bombas for socks, Shoes That Fit for shoes. And then we have also local partners around here. So we have Daly City Youth Health Center, which is a partner in our building, Peninsula Family Services.
And hundreds of San Mateo County families showed up to access free food bank items and enjoy music and games for their kids.
We were concerned about turnout this year because of mass deportations and people of mixed documented families. So we're really excited that we had such a great turnout, which has been similar over the last couple of years.
Gabriela, mother of two, says this is a blessing.
Ya no gasta uno, la verdad, en zapatos y todo.
She says she can rest easier knowing her daughter's starting second grade with new supplies that she wouldn't have been able to afford herself. In Daly City, Shannon Golden, KCBS.
Kaiser Permanente will suspend certain gender-affirming care services for transgender patients under the age of 19. It's a move mirroring those from Children's Hospital LA and Stanford Medicine, as Kaiser cites legal and regulatory risks. The decision has gotten sharp criticism from healthcare providers, lawmakers, and LGBTQ plus advocates. State Senator Scott Wiener called the move illegal under California law, blaming the Trump administration's sweeping anti-trans policies. Nurses argue that gender-affirming care is safe, effective, and supported by research, including Kaiser's own. Kaiser's changes take effect on August 29th. As we've been reporting on KCBS, an exhibit on an informational sign at Muir Woods was recently removed, all part of the Trump administration's goal of taking down what it deems unpatriotic signs in national parks. KCBS's Megan Goldsby talked to a former ranger who helped create the exhibit.
The sign stood for years telling visitors the history of the land, but in 2020, rangers added to it with yellow sticky notes, letting people know more about the contribution of indigenous people and women to the land's history, for example, without covering up what was already on the sign.
And we added information about racist ideology and legislation that was put forward by some of the park's kind of traditional founders, these handful of founders that were held up as the protagonists in the story, who had connections between those beliefs and redwood conservation.
This former park ranger, who didn't want to use her name, helped to create the modified sign, which was called History Under Construction. Complete with yellow construction tape, it not only taught visitors, she says, but it made them think.
So this is a project not only about learning more sides of history, but about asking ourselves, what do the stories that we tell say about who we are or who we can become?
Now that those notes have been removed,
I feel like it's disappointing. It's enraging. but it is also wildly motivating.
Megan Goldsby, KCBS.
Oakland police asking the public for help in solving a year-old murder that happened almost exactly a year ago today. That's when 24-year-old Juliet Harris, a San Diego native, was shot in East Oakland on International Boulevard just after 2 in the morning. Officers say no arrests have been made, but both the OPD and FBI are working on the case. $5,000 will be awarded to anyone who can provide Oakland police with information that leads to an arrest. After a five-year hiatus, the iconic Gilroy Garlic Festival is making its highly anticipated return this weekend. KCBS's Matt Bigler reports.
From garlic ice cream to the famous pyro chefs of Gourmet Alley. The Gilroy Garlic Festival is finally back, and everyone is excited.
You can't go anywhere in town without hearing people talking about it and how excited they are.
Paul Nadeau is president of the Gilroy Garlic Festival Association. He says the main reason it took so long for the popular event to return is insurance. After the mass shooting in 2019, insurance premiums were prohibitively high for a five-year period.
What they call the loss leads have run to a more affordable rate now, and it has enabled us to bring the festival back.
Although nowhere near the size of the previous festival that drew over 100,000 people to Gilroy from around the world.
This is really kind of a shaking off the dust year and making sure that we can regrow the festival in an efficient and responsible 2.0 manner.
Only 9,000 tickets were released for this year's event, and they sold out within hours. In Gilroy, Matt Bigler, KCBS.
Oakland's old Greyhound station could soon have a new life and maybe even some dancing again. Oakland Side reporting 2 years after underground raves briefly lit up the shuttered station, the Hemming Family Trust purchased the site in March for $2.3 million. Paul Hemming, a longtime nightclub operator and former DJ, is behind the purchase. While there's no confirmed plan for a club, Hemming's track record is suggesting the potential. Early plans show the site could become a mix of retail, housing, and entertainment. The building, which opened in 1926, has sat empty since 2021. Well, we are right in the middle of summer, and if you haven't taken advantage of it as much as you had hoped, a San Francisco hospitality leader has an idea for you. KCBS's Megan Goldsby reports he's making the case for a staycation.
Come to San Francisco. That is Alex Bastian's job to say as president and CEO of the Hotel Council in San Francisco. But he says when people have taken him up on it this summer,
the overwhelming majority of people I speak to that come visit our city from driving distance say, wow, this city is in much better shape than I thought. The city is doing a lot better than I expected. And really, they're having a great time here.
It's needed, he says.
It has been competitive. And last year was the worst year on the books for decades. And, you know, the reality of the situation is that this city is an international city. We're heavily reliant on travel, specifically from Asia, but also from our neighbors to the north and south, Mexico and Canada. We, of course, are still not feeling that full recovery from international travel.
That's why they're making the push for Bay Area residents to take a staycation for one or several of the concerts, games, street fairs, and art exhibits coming up this summer. You can hear Bastian's entire interview on KCBS In Depth. Megan Goldsby, KCBS.
A provocative dating app designed to let women anonymously ask or warn each other about men they'd encountered rocketed to the top spot on the U.S. Apple App Store last week. Then yesterday, the company that runs T confirmed it had been hacked. Thousands of images from the app, including selfies, were leaked online. San Francisco-based T Dating Advice Incorporated says in a statement that the breach only affected users who signed up before February 2024. The app and the hack highlight the fraught nature of seeking romance in the age of social media. Some men have alleged defamation and invasion of privacy after their names were posted on date vetting sites. Well, imagine getting between North and South Lake Tahoe in about 30 minutes. KCBS's Mike DeWald reports America's first electric flying ferry could provide the answer.
Fly Tahoe's 30-passenger Candela P-12 operates a bit like a plane, except the wings are underwater as it foils 3 feet above the water, offering a quiet, smooth ride. Ryan Meinzer is founder and CEO of Fly Tahoe. He says it will benefit both guests and locals.
This is going to open up the opportunity for people to live more affordably in the south of the lake, but while still being able to work in the north of the lake and not have a terrible commute each way.
There's still a lot of hoops to jump through to make it a reality, including that the boats must be made in America, something Meinzer hopes to have complete by 2026.
There are permits, certifications, regulations, and a fair amount of that we have been extremely busy with over the last 6 months.
On top of a quick trip, Fly Tahoe would operate year-round. It also has environmental benefits in taking cars off the road.
The leading threat to the Lake Clarity is the road sediment from the cars that are going around the lake.
Mike DeWald, KCBS.
Testifying in court can make anyone a bit nervous, especially victims, but there's an organization that's trying to change that by using dogs. KCBS's Brett Burkhart reports.
The organization is called Courtroom Critters.
And when the dogs walk into the courthouse, it's overwhelming that everybody wants to see the dogs.
Stephanie Lafredo is the president and founder of Courtroom Critters.
And our mission is mostly working with victims and people in crisis.
She knows firsthand about the struggle for victims testifying in court.
Because I'm a retired police officer, and I felt that victims needed just a little bit more to help them.
And the results have been remarkable.
It's just this whole aura of joy and pleasure that comes over everyone.
From the victims to judges and lawyers, and as Lafredo points out, reduces the risk of someone not testifying.
Well, it's important to testify because the bad person will not be convicted of that crime.
Which is the reason she hopes to expand her nonprofit to other cities and states.
Yeah, our future is bright.
Brett Burkhart, KCBS.
San Francisco's Planning Commission has joined others across the country in warning the public of a phishing scam targeting those seeking services. The planning director says scammers are targeting those with pending approvals before the planning department. They're sending out fake invoices asking for supposed necessary payments to the department for approval. It's prompted the planning department to put an alert on its website, but it's unclear if anyone has fallen victim or even if the SF scam is connected to recent national wave. So when you think of a gamer, does the image of a Gen Z male come to mind? A new study finds that a growing number of older people are getting into video games. KCBS's Alisa Clancy finds out it's great for all ages of brains.
There are 57 million gamers over the age of 50.
Full disclosure, I'm one of them. Adrian Matei is a freelance reporter for the Guardian Wellness Desk, and she cites a new study that touts the use of video games for older adults that may have mild cognitive impairment or just want a sense of belonging to a community. We're also running a story this weekend on a loneliness epidemic.
People like Michelle Statham, who is a 60-year-old grandmother with over 3 million followers cross-platform, who streams, so she plays live for an audience, Call of Duty.
Statham juggles in-game multitasking with live chatting with her multi-generational audience. She says she learns from the youngsters and they learn from her. The study found that golden gamers had improved cognitive ability, sleep, and psychiatric symptoms, among other things. Alisa Clancy, KCBS.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying, play KCBS Radio.